In a Space That They Belong by Annie Ron 84. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. It is a Saturday morning in December. It is pissing down sleet outside with all the fury of a Chicago winter thrown off kilter by climate change. And Nikki is ugly crying in the bathroom of his studio apartment. And it isn't even about the cat pee. Or at least, it isn't entirely about the cat pee. He's fostered kittens for one of the local shelters since he arrived here 2 years ago, a sort of preemptive strike against the loneliness that accompanies a move across the ocean to a place where you know nothing and no one. It's been one of his better choices. It does take the edge off the loneliness. He's helped dozens of kittens get adopted, and for the most part, he ignores the voice in his head that tells him it's just as well that he's good with cats, given how hopeless he is with people. There are no real downsides to the arrangement, aside from the occasional scratch and the small line item in his budget for whatever food and litter isn't supplied by the shelter. Or rather, there were no real downsides until last week, when tiny Bruno, a four-month-old tuxedo kitten with the bladder of a Maine coon, had taken it upon himself to mark his new territory, starting with Nikki's bed. Bruno has since been adopted. All of the carefully curated photos Nikki posted to the shelter's Instagram page in between treating his mattress with baking soda and vinegar having done the trick. But none of the internet remedies he's tried have succeeded in getting rid of the smell. He's borrowed Niall's air mattress, but he can only have it for another week and a half until her brother comes to visit, and he's just looked up the price of a new mattress online, and it's going to strain his graduate student budget, already under significant duress, nearly to the breaking point. And even that might not have been enough to drive him to tears, except that when he'd texted Booker to complain about the cost of a full-sized mattress, Booker had texted back with all of his usual tact, "IDK, man, maybe just get a twin?" And that's just it, isn't it? Niccolo, Nikki is fine. DeGeneva had come to Chicago with precious little, one suitcase, one backpack, two cardboard boxes of books following slowly behind by post, and the dream of a different life, one that, with any luck, might one day involve sharing a bed with a man he loved. But it's been 2 years, and even the Italian accent doesn't get him very far once the men at the Boys Town bars discover his baggage. Nikki is 30 years old now, having frittered away his 20s going to seminary, having a crisis of faith, dropping out of seminary, being disowned by his family, and finally decamping to Chicago to get a graduate degree in library services, dusting off the U.S. citizenship he'd acquired by virtue of being born a month early while his mother was visiting relatives in Hoboken, New Jersey. It's all too much for anyone else to take on. Nikki understands, even though he'd hoped. For the last 26 months, he's slept in his full-size bed, alone. Maybe Booker has a point. Nikki knows himself by now, and he knows that if he stays in his apartment, he'll only get sadder and more morose, and he'll be no closer to fixing the problem with his bed. So he turns back to the internet to read up on how to pick a mattress, struggles into his boots and his winter coat, and catches the Red Line at Belmont to a mattress discount store 30 minutes away. When he gets there, the store has the mattress he thinks he wants. Cheap, but not so cheap that it will cause him back problems, or at least he hopes. But the only model on the floor is a full size, not a twin. "I was just wondering," Nikki asks the clerk, "are you sure you don't have any others of this kind?" His accent is stronger when he's nervous, which is any time he talks to strangers, really, and he winces a little, but the clerk doesn't seem to notice. "No, just that one," the clerk says absently, eyeing the clock over the checkout counter with something that looks like longing. "Feel free to try it out, and if you like it, we can order a different size for you." And he really wants to try it out, is the thing, because the articles he's read say you should test a mattress for at least 15 minutes before committing. But there's already a customer on this bed, a man, effortlessly beautiful in a way Nikki could never dream of being, with the softest black curls Nikki has ever seen, and a beard Nikki wants to feel against the inside of his thighs. And isn't that an image to have in his head, right as the man opens his eyes to see Nikki standing awkwardly by the side of the bed? "Hello," says the beautiful man, and he's got dimples when he smiles. And if Nikki hadn't abandoned any claim to divine mercy years ago, he would have prayed to be struck down on the spot, simply to avoid the inevitable moment when he embarrasses himself and the man's smile turns strained. Miraculously, the man doesn't seem to be weirded out by the fact that Nikki still hasn't said anything, and just gestures to the spot beside him on the mattress. "Do you want to try it out too? I don't mind. I would just get up and leave you to it, honestly, except I read this Wirecutter article that said that you should have to lie down on it for at least 15 minutes. Nikki finishes for him. "I read the same one, you see." The man's smile widens at that, and he gestures to the bed again. Nikki gives in to the gravitational pull of the dimples and lies down next to him, nearly falling off the bed in an effort not to roll toward the middle and encroach on the beautiful stranger's space. "I'm Joe," he says. "I figure I should introduce myself if we're going to be sharing a bed." Nikki flushes at that, though if Joe notices, he's kind enough not to react. "Nicolo," he says. "But Nikki is fine." "Ah, yes," Joe says. "It's a rite of passage when you come to America, trying to find a version of your name that won't inconvenience anyone. I know it well." He shrugs a shoulder, or at least an attempt is made, given that he's lying down at the time. "I'm Yusuf at home, but I've been Joe for so long that it feels like another extension of me." "Yusuf," Nikki repeats. "It's a lovely name." Joe beams at that. "Thank you," he says. "So is Nicolo." He turns onto his side and pillows his head on one of his arms. "So what brings you to Mattress World today, Nicolo?" Nikki blinks. "I am in need of a mattress." Joe chuckles at that. "Yeah, I figured. But is there a story behind it? For example, I need a new mattress because my ex is a dirty, rotten cheater who couldn't keep it in his pants, and I told him to take the bed when he moved out, because who knows what happened in it when I wasn't there, and I don't need that kind of negativity in my life anymore. But also, I'm getting kind of tired of sleeping on my own pull-out couch. Hence, I am spending my Saturday at Mattress World." He sweeps an arm out in front of him in a gesture that is far grander than the store, with its dingy carpet and its sample mattresses pushed too close together for customers to browse comfortably, really deserves. Nikki pushes back the pulse of awareness that runs through him at the revelation that the man, Joe, is not only beautiful but also gay, in order to focus on the substance of what he's just said. "I'm so sorry, Joe. That must have been hard on you." Joe picks at a stray thread on the mattress. "It's okay. It was a long time coming." But those years of training for the priesthood weren't a total loss. Nikki waits him out. "Or, it's not okay, really. But it's been 6 months and I'm doing better now. Really, I am." "I'm glad that you're doing better. Even so, pain isn't always a linear thing when someone we love hurts us," Nikki offers. "It isn't wrong to let yourself feel it. It doesn't mean you aren't still healing." "Thank you, Nikki," Joe says. "That's very wise." Nikki smiles. "It can be easier to be gentle with other people's feelings than with our own sometimes." "That's true, too." Joe is silent for a moment, gazing at a spot somewhere over Nikki's shoulder. "I know I'm better off without him in the long run, and I know the right person for me is out there somewhere, someone kinder, maybe, someone warm." It is another version of the prayer Nikki has whispered to no one when he is alone at night. Someone kind. Someone steady. Someone somewhere. Someone soon. He swallows against the lump in his throat long enough to say, "You're romantic." Joe laughs, a little self-consciously, and runs a hand through his beard. "You're not wrong." He changes the subject then, fixing his deep brown eyes on Nikki in a way that would have completely disarmed him, even without the words that came next. "Are you the big spoon or the little spoon?" "Am I the... I'm sorry?" "Oh, sorry. I don't know if it's idiomatic or..." "The big spoon or the little spoon is another way of asking if you're the cuddler or the cuddlee." "No, yes, I mean, I know what a big spoon is, but, I don't know. I've never had the occasion to be a spoon at all. I was going to be a priest," Nikki carries on haphazardly, because apparently he has decided to divulge his most humiliating secrets all at once, like a child turning out his pockets. "But now I'm going to be a librarian, a gay one, who can be a spoon." He fully expects Joe to run for the hills after that, but instead he's looking at Nikki with an expression that is on the verge of something too gentle for Nikki to bear, something almost fond. "We should probably get to the bottom of that, if you're going to buy the right mattress for gay librarian spooning. Here, turn over onto your other side." And then Joe is scooting forward on the bed, drawing Nikki closer, slowly, so he has plenty of time to object, and wrapping his strong arms around Nikki's chest, one hand resting gently on Nikki's arm. And if Nikki could live in this moment forever, he would, because it's quite possibly the best in his entire life. And that's how Nikki learns that he is definitely incontrovertibly the little spoon. At least until Joe instructs him to switch places, and he has the broad expanse of Joe's back tucked up against him, and this, too, feels like it's almost worth all the years of heartache that have come before, even if Nikki doesn't get to keep him. "Any preliminary thoughts?" Joe asks. "Can we try the first one again?" It's a shameless ploy to be held, but Joe doesn't object. And they stay like that for a long moment until Joe gently releases him. "Well, then, they both have their advantages," Nikki says, turning over to face Joe. "But I think if I had to pick my favorite, maybe the little spoon, or perhaps..." "No, it's definitely the little spoon." "Well, there you have it, Nikki," Joe says. "Now you know. Score one for science." "Was that science?" Nikki asks. Joe winks at him. "I'd say it was chemistry." Nikki groans, and Joe laughs. And though Nikki is certain that they've both been on the mattress for well over 15 minutes, he can't bring himself to look at the clock and break the spell of whatever this is. He searches for something to continue the conversation and ends up with the mundane. "So where in Chicago do you live, Joe?"
"I live in Lesbianville," Joe says. "Shit, I mean Andersonville."
Nikki raises an eyebrow at that, and Joe hastens to add, "Sorry, that's what my best friends call it, and I got into the habit. It's fine, my best friends are lesbians." "Oh God, I'm making this worse, aren't I?"
"It's okay, hon," says a voice from the queen-size memory foam to their left. "Everyone calls it Lesbianville."
A middle-aged woman with short, curly hair picks her head up long enough to wave at them both.
"Carol, also a lesbian, also read the Wirecutter article."
They both introduce themselves and trade tips about mattress selection, but then Carol motions at them to carry on.
"Just pretend I'm not here. I'm live-tweeting your meet cute to all 30 of my followers, and I'm also texting it to my wife."
"Deal," Nikki says faintly. But Joe either hasn't heard or doesn't care because he's off to the races again.
"And you, do you live near here?"
"I'm in Boys Town, actually."
"Oh, so you live near..."
And here Nikki is certain that Joe is about to name drop one of the many bars Nikki has given up on frequenting,
but instead he says, an abridged bookstore? And that settles it then. This is the man Nicky would have brought home to his family, in a better world where his family still spoke to him and wanted his happiness as much as their own. Maybe you can make your own family someday, says a voice in his head. And for once, he doesn't push the voice away. It's my happy place, actually, Nicky says, that bookstore. It's a good happy place to have, Joe says. He nudges Nicky's leg gently with his foot. You never said why you needed a new mattress before.
Oh, yes, well, you see, I foster kittens for one of the shelters, and...
I'm sorry, Joe interrupts. Did you just say you foster kittens? Because now I'm picturing you with your arms full of kittens, and it's the most adorable thing I've ever imagined in my life.
Nicky flushes again at that, but struggles valiantly on. Well, the kittens are very adorable, it's true, but one of them recently took it upon himself to destroy my mattress by, urinating on it.
Joe laughs then, though not unkindly.
Oh, Nicky, he says, you really are having a hard weekend.
So what do you think? Is this the mattress for you?
I think it might be, Nicky says.
He swallows, all the hurt of that morning sinking back in now that it's time to make a decision.
Only, well, I was thinking maybe I should just get a twin since I...
And anyway, it will be cheaper if I just...
But Joe is nudging him with his foot again until Nicky meets his eyes.
I don't know. It seems like it would be hard to do any gay librarian spooning on a twin bed.
He reaches for Nicky's hand, stretched out on the bed between them, and touches his fingers to Nicky's palm. Have a little faith, Niccolo.
When Nicky leaves Mattress World that afternoon, he has a receipt for a full-size mattress in his coat pocket and Joe's number in his phone.
The end.